Welcome to I'm Spiritual, Damn It. I'm your host, Jennifer Weigel, and joining me in studio, psychic medium James Demos, or if you really know him well, you call him Jim. How you doing, Jim?
I'm fine. How are you today?
I am well. So you have the nickname the Northwoods Mystic because part of you grew up in the Northwoods. It was part of your childhood. But let's talk about how you got into this first of all. Let's rewind the clock. Raised in the Chicago area, right? Born and raised, or were you born up in Wisconsin?
I was born in Oak Park, but immediately moved to northern Wisconsin. My dad was a logger. We lived in a log cabin, no electricity, no running water for pretty much the first 6 years of my life.
Wow. And so being out in the woods, you know, this is just what you knew. But when did you know you had an intuitive voice, that your antenna was a little bit different than others?
Well, actually, when I first realized there was something different. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm probably 7, 6 years old. And you have to go back. Now, I was born in 44, so this is like 50, early 50s. Mm-hmm. And at that time, there were two enemies in the world, the Russians and the Martians.
Right.
And I really believed, because I was so different than everybody else, that I had been left here by the Martians as a punishment, as a bad kid.
Oh, no. That's unfortunate.
Because I saw things so differently and understood mm-hmm. things so differently that I didn't get it. Mm-hmm. So as you're growing up, people recognize that, but in those days, they didn't know what to call it.
Right.
So my mother would get notes from her teachers, and my mother was a teacher, so they're kind of thieves, you know, they talk to each other.
Sure.
And they would say that I had unrecognized leadership ability. And that was because people of all ages would come to me for advice. And that was kind of strange for a kid that was in grammar school.
Yeah.
And I was president of everything I ever touched. Mm-hmm. You know, they just wanted me to be the leader. So that's, at that time, that's what they, in rural areas, they call it shining or
so you're
sensitive.
Accelerated, but also, that's a good thing. You're saying it was a bad thing for you?
I didn't understand what they were talking about because I was so youthful. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think it was a burden. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, lots of people think right from the get-go that that's something they got to live with.
Right.
And I was kind of a rebel, didn't have a dad, did my own thing. So I took advantage of it mm-hmm. and ran everything.
So did you use your gifts for good, or did you use your gifts for your ego? Because a lot of people I interview who have the gift, sometimes they admit to having to learn to use this for good versus just using it to get answers to the test.
Well, I think the majority of it was for the good, mm-hmm. helping others.
Yeah.
I was always the enforcer, the guy that made sure nobody was being picked on. Nobody bullied with me around.
Yeah.
So one of the, because I was so empathic and understood and felt energy and things like that, I can tell who's lying.
Yeah.
So nobody was going to pull it over on me, and so they didn't. After a while, you call them on it a couple times, and everybody's like, Jim, hey, by the way, he won't lie to you, and don't lie to him.
Right.
You know, so that puts you aside from the rest of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I hit high school, it was Oak Park River Forest High School, and there was 630 kids in the class, so you get lost pretty quickly.
Sure.
And I wasn't North Oak Park or River Forest where the money was. I was kind of South Oak Park, which was lower middle-income class. My mom was a teacher, so I didn't join much. I didn't have money. I mean, I didn't date because I didn't have any money.
Mm-hmm.
And we would scrounge, you know, shoveling walks and cutting grass and all that. But I would get a quarter for shoveling somebody's walk.
Sure.
So I kind of did nothing through mm-hmm. high school. I just kind of hid out. And luckily, I got a girlfriend when I was a junior. And, of course, I graduated and went to a college. And 2 years later, she graduated and went to a different college. And, you know, I'll see you later.
Right. What'd you do after college?
Well, no, college, by the way, was 60s. And I was a sociology major at a private school called Parsons College in Fairfield, Iowa. Didn't have anything to do with Parsons. It's just the guy's name that started it.
Mm-hmm. Fairfield is a very spiritual place now.
Yeah, I know. TM's there.
You started doing meditation in college.
Well, I learned about it.
Mm-hmm.
TM wasn't at the school. The school was pretty much a party school, to tell you the truth.
Really? Yeah. For those who are listening and don't know what TM is Transcendental Meditation, which is a very highly evolved state, which it takes a lot of discipline. Lots.
To learn, but once you get it, it's not difficult.
Okay.
It really isn't. It's just mantra.
Yeah, but you can tell I obviously have not succeeded to that level because it's hard for some people to sit still for all those minutes. But anyway, go on. So you learned about TM in college.
And wasn't real successful with it because I was taught improperly.
Oh.
And then I actually 10 years ago, took a workshop, and the guy who was doing the workshop was the TM master of all of England. So Richard, I can't remember his last name. Anyway, he really snapped me back, and so I do it again.
Right.
And I do lots of other stuff, too, like that. Right after college, I was just playing. You know, I was, you know, and then I...
You mean playing with your intuitive gifts, like
no,
reading friends?
No, playing with life.
Oh, playing with life. Okay, yeah. Sure. Getting a couple marriages under your belt and stuff. All right, go on. Then what?
Maybe this is a good time to stop and define intuition and instinct and things like that. And
absolutely,
empathic.
Because they definitely have changed since when you started on this journey to today.
Right.
Right. So empathic, you're saying when you're empathic, that's somebody who feels other people's stuff.
Yes, strongly.
Very strongly.
Yes.
Almost like it oozes into your energy field.
Right. And a lot of empaths don't like to go in crowds. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say they're recluses, but they're introverted often. Mm-hmm. I just decided to use it for fun, not as a burden. Mm-hmm. I thought it was pretty cool all my life. And so you get out of college, you go to work.
Sure.
I worked for a couple of years, and then I got married, and we had a kid.
Right.
So you're going along, and you're busy.
Right.
And I was actually a single parent for a while and with two little kids, so that was all-encompassing. So I wasn't doing anything.
With your intuition.
No. I relied on it. Sure. I always got it that it was important because I had learned that that quiet second voice was my intuition. Mm-hmm. Most people go, I don't know what that is, I forget it. So, but I tuned into that young, that second voice was very accurate, and I trusted it. If you trust your intuition, it's really worth it because it's not wrong.
Echo Bodine calls it the still small voice. So, yes, you're saying it's a whisper. It's the bird that flies in front of your car. It's not an anvil over the head.
Right.
I mean, sometimes some things can be anvils over the head, like you need to go here. But for the most part, the intuitive voice is that little whisper that's on your shoulder.
Yes.
Okay. And you knew that as a young... How did people describe intuition when you were very young, back in the North Woods?
They didn't.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was weird psychics over there. Yeah. Let's not talk about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know many people because we were far away from everybody. There was a couple other people on the road, but they were busy surviving.
Sure. You know? Right.
So,
and there were gypsies and seers and what people warned about in the Bible, but there wasn't a section in Barnes & Noble for people like you.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that brings up, I was told in my journey that I had the gift of prophecy. Mm-hmm. By someone that I really trusted was accurate, and I didn't know what that meant.
So did you have to go look it up?
Well, I knew prophets in the Bible.
Sure.
And I was like, give me a break. You know, I'm not in with those guys. But I went and looked it up, and there's several different definitions. But to put it shortly, a person that has the gift of prophecy understands things well and can explain them to others really well. Mm-hmm. So that's what it was. And that hit the nail on the head with me because people always say, gosh, you can tell good. You're good at that. You know, we understand you. You know, you have a big vocabulary, on and on and on. And to me, it was just saying what I understood.
Sure.
So that's the gift of that. And people get mixed up between instincts and intuition, too.
Sure.
Now, from college days, when I took a lot of psychology and a lot of sociology, they taught then, and I think it's the same today, is that an instinct is something a species will do always the same.
And you don't think, always the same. Gotcha. Okay, so their wiring is to always do this after they eat, they walk here, after they build their nests.
It's basically survival, food, shelter, the drives of life.
Yeah.
And so people think that things like maternal instinct is an instinct. Well, it's not. Mothers kill their kids. I mean, it kind of throws that one out the window. Mm-hmm. So instincts are even more basic than that. It's, find food, find shelter.
Right.
Protect,
stay alive.
Yes, protect yourself. Mm-hmm. Intuition is very different in that it's that voice, that knowing when the hair stands up on your arms, when you go, I don't think I should do that. And what you start doing is listening to that and doing it. Mm-hmm. So you rely on it.
Sure.
And it works. Mm-hmm. Most people will say, nah, it's just, it's just me thinking that.
Right. And that's the problem. Their ego and their brain gets in the way.
Yeah.
And, I tell this story a lot, but when I was trying to open up my intuition, I was like, okay, intuition, which way should I go to work? And then you get quiet and you try to breathe. And I practiced breathing, getting centered, grounding myself to the center of the planet, and trying to silence my mind from the chatter of my ego. And I heard go the Lakeshore Drive route. I could either do Lakeshore Drive or the 94, right? Mm-hmm. But I was closer to 94. So I thought, well, why would I go the Lakeshore Drive route? So I decided to use my ego and go the other way. And sure enough, construction, blockages, yeah. You know, it took me three times as long as it would have had I listened to my intuition, which was telling me, go Lakeshore Drive. But I got in my own way. My ego got in my own way.
Yep.
It happens a lot.
I have a quote for you.
What?
Okay, everybody, get out your pencil. Question. Do you know why your stomach lining is smarter than your brain?
Why?
Because it hasn't evolved enough to doubt.
Got it.
That gut feeling is smarter than your head.
Yeah.
Case in point to what you just said.
Exactly. Exactly. So when did you start trusting your gut and your intuitive voice and really start to use it on a basic, you know, on a regular basis?
I can't think of a time.
Like in your 30s?
Yeah. Oh, no. It was before that.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha.
I had a kind of an odd college situation. And remember, the Vietnam War is going on. So at that time, you had three choices. You could get drafted, you could move to Canada, or you could go to college and get C's.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't come from a military family, so that wasn't a tough choice for me.
Right.
I went to college, but you have to stay in college.
Yeah.
So that was intuition. I would pick the courses I knew I could do well. I changed schools. I went to Southern Illinois University for a while. I went back to Parsons and graduated from there. So all those life decisions seemed obvious to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the intuition saying, no, get out of here. Right. Leave Parsons, go to a different school, and then come back. And
right.
I did.
And you did.
Yeah.
But then when you started practicing mediumship, that was something you never thought you could do. You didn't know you could see dead people.
No. And I tripped into that kind of. A friend of my wife on an Easter Sunday said, let's go to church. Well, I've always been interested. I've gone to all different kinds of churches and synagogues, the whole thing, just because I'm curious.
Right.
And she said, I found this little funny church in Chicago. Let's go there. So being raised a Presbyterian, I put on my suit.
Right.
And I went to church on Easter.
Right.
Well, there wasn't a whole heck of a lot of suits in this church, you know, maybe two or three. And it was the Spiritualist Church.
Church of the Spirit on Central Park.
Right.
Maurice Coverson was a guest here, and I'm Spiritual Dammit, the head pastor there. So if you didn't hear that conversation, all those listening should tune in as well. But Maurice was there, wasn't she?
Yes, and I'm a big fan of hers.
Yeah.
So what she does is she gives everybody a quick hit reading.
At the end, though.
Yeah, after the service.
Yeah, so the service. Explain the service for those who've never been to a spiritualist church.
It's much like a lot of Protestant churches where there's a few songs and some
sermons.
Yeah, the sermons, they don't call it a sermon. They call it a lecture or something like that where it's just Maurice.
Story.
Yeah, some talking. Then the last half hour or so, whoever came gets a quick hit reading.
Right. The pastors stand up and they approach. They'd say, may I come to you? And they just bang. It's like a quick fire challenge in cooking. They're like, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, it's really fast. And to somebody that doesn't understand that, that's really amazing to see because they're right on, you know, and they're strangers and they're nailing them.
Right.
So it came to me my turn and it wasn't short. It was lengthy and detailed and I don't want to say scary, but it was shocking to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I was like, what are you talking about? She told me that there was ascended master around me that had been there all my life and that I had the gift of prophecy. She's the one that told me that. And I'm thinking, this is crazy. Well, luckily, the people were writing it all down because I wouldn't have remembered it.
Because you had like spiritual amnesia, as they call it, when you get read and you don't remember it at all 5 minutes later.
Yeah.
I
didn't understand what she was saying.
Yeah.
And so after church, like a lot of Protestant type churches, you can go downstairs in the basement. They have coffee and cookies and donuts or whatever.
Yeah.
So we went down there and my friend, my wife's friend, outed me to Maurice and said, you know, this guy over here, you see him, he's like a psychic dude, you know. So I, oh, shoot.
But you weren't charging to be a psychic dude. You just, your friends and family knew you had this kind of spidey sense, right?
But I had, but at that time I had been doing intuitive readings.
Okay, you had been.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All righty.
But not mediumship.
Not mediumship.
And I was curious about mediumship because a friend of mine had a baby die and had a medium reading and it changed her life. So I knew about that. So
right.
I knew it
but
could
it wasn't
be
something you were doing because some people do the intuitive stuff, but they can't bridge over to mediumship. Some people just do mediumship and they don't do intuitive, but you now have the gift of both.
Yes.
Okay. Got it.
So Maurice came over to me and said, your friend says you're some kind of psychic guy. I go, yes, I am. Don't ever deny it. Just say yes. Mm-hmm. You know? And so Maurice said, well, I'd like a reading. And, you know, being the businessman that I am, I reached in my coat and pulled out my day timer and said, how's Tuesday sound? And Maurice said, no, right now.
Ready, break.
Yeah. You know, that's like telling a comedian, be funny.
Ready,
you know,
like, go. Yeah.
Let me think. So I gave her a reading and she was impressed. And she said, I would like you to come to our classes. Uh-huh. And she was noticing in me that it was there.
Right.
You know, because that's what she does. And she's done it a long time and she's very good at it. Mm-hmm. So I did. I went to their what they call enfoldment classes. They're basically a kind of a training.
And they have these at the church every week, don't they?
Yeah, okay. They have two series. They have like an introduction one, mm-hmm. and then an advanced or whatever second is.
Right.
So you can go for a long time. And I went for a long time, on and off for, I tried to count, it was either 5 or 6 years.
And what did you find when you went? Did you get better with each time? Was it frustrating? Was it exciting?
I wouldn't go so far as to say exciting. I was really curious, mm-hmm. and I didn't understand how it worked.
Right.
But what you do is you practice every first Wednesday of the month. Anybody can come and get readings. They don't have a regular service. They just have readings. Mm-hmm. And the students practice. They come up front and they do it. And so the more you do that, the more you get that you're pretty good at this.
And you're saying practice is really what makes perfect.
Well, I think practice makes confidence. Mm-hmm. Confidence makes accuracy.
Got it.
So when you get to that point, you're not worried about whether this is going to work or not. Mm-hmm. You know you're good at this.
Right.
And so you practice with your family and friends or whatever, and then when they keep saying, yeah, how'd you know that? You know, and then you move up and with that confidence and do even better, and then you start mm-hmm. maybe even charging if you want, and then you can do it.
Right.
Yeah.
So for you, when you started in the business world and then you transition over from intuitive to medium, mm-hmm. what do you say to the skeptics who basically accuse you of, you know, just being good at people skills and, you know, you can pick a lonely divorcee out of a crowd. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got good people skills. I could put up a shingle and do some readings for some people, but I surely can't tell someone, hey, your dead Uncle Hal is here. And he says, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So what do you say to the skeptics that wonder how this is possible and say there's really no way to prove that this is real?
If they're aggressive mm-hmm. and not polite about it,
yeah,
I basically just say, give me a half an hour.
Mm-hmm. And I'll convince you otherwise. Mm-hmm. So you actually try to convince a skeptic. Because I know a lot of people don't even give them their airtime. They're like, forget it. I don't want to bother
Now, that's
you.
A cynic.
Yeah. A cynic, you can't.
A cynic, forget it. Yeah. You know, everything's bad, you know, mm-hmm. okay. But a skeptic, and most of the skeptics I run into come along with somebody. They're what I call the bodyguard.
Sure. Yeah.
So it's a woman who brings her sister or mother or a boyfriend,
right.
you know, because they think, hey, this guy's probably a serial killer. And so I'll have to go with you and make sure this is right. And you can tell right off. I mean, they're sitting there with their arms crossed and their hands on their hips and mm-hmm. they're looking at you like, you crook. Mm-hmm. And then I just give them a reading first.
Got it.
A quick hit. And without exception, they mm-hmm. shut up, lean back, and have that dazed deer in the headlights look like, what?
Right.
So it works pretty good. Cynics, I can pick them up. I won't do a reading with a cynic.
Right. Yeah. Well, for someone like you who is intuitive, I mean, a lot of people say this all the time, why aren't you picking the lottery numbers? You know?
Well, unfortunately, it just wasn't set up that way. Or we would.
Yeah.
You can't do it that way.
And do you have trouble reading those who are close to you? Because they're so close to you?
Well, normally I don't do a mediumship for somebody that's really close or somebody I know really well.
Right.
But I have.
Right.
And normally that's somebody I know less than I know, like a relative.
Mm-hmm.
And it works. So I rely on, my readings are a combination of intuition, or empathic intuition, and the mediumship.
Right.
And when somebody comes, I tell them that. I say, this isn't just going to be a mediumship reading because other stuff comes to me and mm-hmm. I'm obligated to tell you what I'm getting.
Right.
And they always go, okay. Mm-hmm. So then, you know, the mediumship is almost kind of like the finale mm-hmm. of a reading because stuff comes to me real fast when I start
in.
Yeah.
Do you have to have a ceremony on how you open up or is it just like you just set your intention and go?
Well, I like to clear the space. Mm-hmm. And that's a whole nother show.
Mm-hmm.
But I do call my team, mm-hmm. and my team is my guides, mm-hmm. spirit, angels, ancestors, and I'm an evidential medium, which means before the reading, I go to that person's spirit side mm-hmm. and say, look, when you show up, I want to know your name. I want to know how you died. I want to know how old you died. I want you to tell me something that only you and that person know about. I want you to tell me about things you did that they would know.
Right.
Don't come if you're not going to give me that information.
Otherwise, don't bother, buddy. Yeah. Right. All right. So you have a little talk with the spirits on the mm-hmm. other side.
Yeah.
You're mouthing off to the spirit guides. Then you sit down. When you say you clear the space, I mean, what are you, burning sage? Because Bodine lights sweet grass. Everybody's got a little something that they do.
I used to do that. And then mm-hmm. I kind of figured out you don't really have to.
Right.
I do something like, and I speak aloud. I don't whisper or pray. Right. I say, all you entities, spirits, beings, and things that are not here for the betterment of us and everyone in this room, I command that you leave immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Did you just feel that?
Yeah.
So it works.
When you say I command, that's a really good, powerful statement. Mm-hmm. Because, okay, so the reason you do this, and this is really important for all those who are listening, if you walk in unconsciously to a room and you wonder why you feel tired or lethargic, chances are there's some residual gunk that was left behind by somebody else.
Yeah, I just got goosebumps all over.
Yeah.
And you can just say, be gone.
Right.
You know, command you leave. And they do leave.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people, I warn them, don't go doing that in your house all the time because that opens up for other ones to come by.
Really?
So they leave, and then maybe your basement or your crawl space has got all these goofy spirits. They're not all bad guys.
Right.
They just come there because it's open space.
Now, see, I've been told by many not to bother with things like Ouija boards because that basically is opening the door to all dark energies that are kind of lost without a home. Do you agree?
Yes.
Okay. So anyone who's listening, throw out the Ouija board. Sorry, Parkers or whatever, Parker Brothers, but be done with it.
Yeah. I think the only word I can come up with is dangerous.
Yeah. I've been told that over and over again. And this, again, because it's attracting lost spirits.
Yeah. And dark spirits.
Mm-hmm. And they do exist, dark spirits. Some people are like, well, no, they don't. You just don't have to give them energy, and then they won't come and bother you. Uh-huh. That's a little Pollyanna, don't you think?
Yeah, it's a lack of understanding about the whole spiritual world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's endless arguments about earthbound spirits and ghosts and, you know, on and on and on and on and on.
Do you ever get called, house calls for any clearings? You got to get the ghosts out? Because Maurice will make house calls. How about you?
I don't get calls anymore because I don't do it.
Gotcha. If you decided to, you could, but it's not your preference.
No, because there's so much charlatan stuff out there that it's almost like fakery, you know. And I just
what do you mean? People pretending that their house they got haunted?
The people that are on clearing the house or whatever you call it, this house is clean,
right?
You know, they got these little boxes where they actually have boxes that you can buy where, like in Ghostbusters, it sucks the ghost into the box.
Oh, come on, seriously?
Yeah, and they're hundreds of dollars, and people sell them.
Oh.
So it's gotten to that point. Well, there's these TV shows on cable where the Ghostbusters are ghosts, you know.
And they claim they're trapping the thing just like in Ghostbusters?
Yeah, well, the whole thing to me is sure, you know, just fake.
Right. So some of the sensors, that, I mean, we had, you know, some people who go around to haunted places, and there is, you know, an energy frequency that can set off some of these sensors a little bit. Do you believe in that?
Yeah, there's a real energy there. Mm-hmm. There's a spirit there. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure it's somebody that's caught here because they fell off a roof there or something. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's spirits everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can go into a new, like a church, and it's full of spirits.
Right.
I can just feel them, and they're everywhere. And that's okay.
Right.
I mean, there's a whole, like another dimension, another side to what's going on, and they're everywhere. And they're not all people that were humans.
Right.
There's other kinds of spirits.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like guides.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the guides, or if not most of the guides, were never human.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody has guides. They ignore them.
Well, I wanted to ask you that. So a lot of different theories are out there about what we all have as our, quote, posse. There's the angels and the archangels and the etheric beings and the ascended masters. And I swear, if there's a test, I am totally screwed. It's like taking an exam. What? We don't really know. Nobody really totally knows, but some people say that they know. You know, Sylvia Brown used to say there was, you know, libraries with these gigantic, you know, columns and crap. And I'd much more believe somebody who died and had a near-death experience and their take on what's on the other side than somebody who just, you know, claims they hear it from the angels and the guides. What do you think? What have they told you in your decades of doing this work? What do you really think is over there? So what do we each have? We each have angels. We each have our dead loved ones.
Yes.
We each have ascended masters or our ascended master?
We have a master guide.
Okay.
And so that could, it's probably not Jesus. Okay. But it could be.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
So, to answer your question, those are different chapters of the same book. It's not the same for everybody.
Got it.
So when they say, this is how it is, I go, no.
Right.
So and the variables are how many times you've come back.
Mm-hmm. And you think you're recycled.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's your choice. You don't have to recycle. You want to go live in the Pleiadians? Go. Fly over there. It's okay. You know, there's choice.
Fly over there.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's your choice.
Right. Okay.
People come back because this is where we learn a lot.
Yeah. This is our earth school, as they say.
Yeah. And there's people living four or five lifetimes in this lifetime to get those lessons.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's a tough question to answer. And I've read all about, you know, the hypnotherapists that have people in between. And I really have come to believe you have a team of people that are here that come with you so mm-hmm. they can help you or be the lesson for you.
And they can switch up too, right?
Yeah.
Like somebody can move on to another case and then you get another guide that's like a new guy. Hey, Larry's joining the team. Welcome, Larry.
Yeah.
Hi, Larry. And then they all help you out.
Yeah. He's going to be the cop that shoots you, you know.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, what? No, he's going to be the nurse that saves your life. You know, there's all kinds of things that go on. And to label it is what's heaven, mm-hmm. what's hell?
Right.
If you think there's a hell, you're going to go over there and it's not going to be real pleasant for a while you have your life review.
Right.
And I'm convinced the life review is real.
Mm-hmm. And that's where you sit and you feel everything that you put out. So if you were really nice to people, that'll be heavenly. And if you were a total jerk, then that's going to be hellacious.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
But there's no judgment involved.
Mm-hmm.
The only judgment is from the spirit of themselves, not from the people that are there with them. Or
but
the spirits
us.
There. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The person who has the experience.
Yes. So you go, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Yeah. That wasn't so nice.
Mm-hmm.
Or, oh, wow, that was great. I got to do that next time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can choose whether you want to go back or not.
Got it.
You kind of pick the people that are going to come with you. There's a team normally around six people that come with you. Now, when we come back here, it's not 100% energy. So maybe 10% of you comes here because if it was 100%, we couldn't handle it. We'd explode.
Mm.
So the 10% of your team, they're only giving you 10% for the life they're going to have here for you to be exposed to. There's that whole other side.
Where's the other 90%?
It's still on the other side, and maybe they're going to go jumping with somebody else. See, they split. That's the split spirit that you hear about.
So you're saying there's 90% of my spirit that's like renting other spirits?
Well, or just sitting there watching you.
No wonder I'm so tired.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So then when people have a glimpse, do you believe that there's alternate dimensions happening? So like for you as an intuitive to try to predict something for somebody or tell somebody what mm-hmm. you're seeing for somebody, is it possible that you're seeing, like the other day you were telling me about this gentleman that might be coming in for me and has a sailboat, and is it possible there could be another dimension where that's happening? Or that will be happening and you're just tapping into that other dimension and I'm just not aware of it in this dimension?
Yes.
Okay.
And not just one other dimension.
Uh-huh.
So, and now throw into another aspect to that is past, present, future all happen at the same time.
Yeah, that's the part that a lot of listeners have trouble with. But if you imagine this, and I remember hearing this description it was on Oprah with Dr. Oz talking about that there's proof of at least 11 dimensions happening at once. We know there's more, but the proof in science is that there's 11. So just imagine that they're all separated by shower curtains and you're next to them like lanes in traffic and they're all happening at once, right? And so there's a version of you in Egypt. There's a version of you in the French Riviera. There's a version of you, you know, who knows, in the future, in the way past, whatever. Egypt. I'm so drawn to the Egyptian thing. Every time I see something on, you know, the Smithsonian Channel, I just get all goosebumpy. So I know I've got a version of myself there somewhere. And for anybody listening, if you have a connection to something like that, if there's a place that feels familiar, chances are you're having a life there, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And what makes it difficult for people is that they believe time is linear.
Right.
And it's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even go back to Einstein. You know, I mean, this is something that man has known about for a long time, but we live a linear life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, past is done, present's now, future's going to happen, and only live in the present. Well, that's probably a pretty good idea because the future can change with one decision. That's why I don't do psychic work that tells the future. It's accurate at the moment.
Right, but so many things with free will can switch that up.
Yeah.
So it's really hard for any, I mean, I tell people I believe that there are psychics out there and they tell you what they see happening if all vibrations continued in that trajectory at that moment.
Yeah.
That would probably happen. But we have so much free will and, you know, loosey-goosey going on all the time that we can just switch it up at any moment. It's just too hard to pin that down.
Yeah, I don't want to be the guy that they said, oh, he was really wrong.
But you can say things like, well, I don't see this work partnership as a good match.
Well, that's
right?
different. That's more different. Intuition than it is future telling or fortune telling.
Right. But so, some people would see that as very valuable.
Yeah. If I think it's really, really important, not, you know, am I going to sell my house?
Right.
If it's really, really important, I will definitely say it.
Okay. Perfect. So for us, you and I are going to be at Madame Zuzu's in Highland Park, Billy Corgan's tea shop up there in Highland Park on Friday. It is sold out, so nobody can come if they want to. Okay. Sorry about that, guys. But we will be doing it again, hopefully, in the future, because once a month we are up there. I'm up there doing a, I call it the Spiritual Social Club, where we have a discussion about intuition, talk about people. We did one last month that sold out as well. People are curious about this stuff. They want to know how it works, and they love hearing stories from someone like you, Jim, who grew up with this heightened sense but didn't really make it a living for yourself until much, much later in your journey. And I think there are a lot of people out there that can relate to that. So stay in touch with both of us. I'm jenweigel.com. That's JenWeigel.com. You can click on the gigs tab and find out when we'll have another social club. How do people find you, Jim?
Well, I don't have a website. I took it down.
I was going to ask you why. What the heck?
It just turned into be a hassle. And, you know, so many people wanting free stuff and all that.
Okay.
So the best way to get a hold of me is my email address. It's just my name, James, D-E-M-O-S, no dots, no underscores, just my name, James Demos, at sbcglobal.net.
Okay. Yeah. James Demos at sbcglobal.net.
Yeah.
They can also find you on the Facebooks, right?
Yeah, so yeah, I got all the information in Facebook, my hat size and
your hat size. If there's one thing that a listener can do right now to help heighten their intuition or their confidence or just tap into their guides that are with them, what do you recommend that they do, the start of their day and the finish of their day?
Well, I start of the day, I just kind of welcome the day by saying, good morning, Spirit, Mother, Father, God. Thank you for another glorious day. I just ask that you please care for me and use me to the fullest for the benefit of myself, mankind, Earth, and all her inhabitants.
Wow. That's a good one.
And then I get up and I do my all my medical stuff, and then I do a 30-minute yoga, and then I drink coffee. I know.
Right. And, I do too. And some people say it's great.
Yeah, I know. It's just a habit. And I like a hot coffee in the morning, yeah.
Do you think that alcohol numbs your gifts? You mentioned having a glass of wine before we started rolling on this. There are some people that are really adamant that sometimes even just a recreational glass of wine is a bad idea, and some other people are like, who cares? What's your take on that?
Are you asking when I'm going to do a reading, should I have wine?
No, not when you do a reading, but do you think it numbs your gifts?
Oh, no.
In general?
No.
Okay.
Now, if you drink a whole bottle of wine,
yeah. But you never drink wine and then do readings.
No, I wouldn't. Yeah, I would never do that.
Some actually recommend that those who are receiving readings also don't drink wine because it opens up their receptors to let in dark energy. Do you believe in that?
Yeah, I think so. You need to be all with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And especially when, see, my intuition basically is, my intuition is so strong, I tap into your intuition.
Right.
You tell me stuff you need me to tell you, or sometimes your guides will tell you to tell me, and then I give that back to you. So none of it's me making it up.
Right, right.
I'm the telephone. Comes in one end, comes out the other, and I'm just the, you know, receiver. And
got it.
So, yeah, we don't want to numb that in any way.
Gotcha.
I don't think I've ever had anybody come to a reading that's like, obviously, I've been drinking, so I don't know how that would work.
Well, recently I saw a young girl. She had lost her brother. She was grieving terribly. And so she had a few glasses of wine and then went for her reading. And then afterwards, it just made the heightened emotions of what she received just kind of make her face down. And it was really hard for her. But I have had instances where we have a spiritual social club situation and people are drinking wine. And the person who's doing the reading says, look, if you want a reading and you want clarity, please don't drink the wine until after we're done with this. And they were like, what? What's the point? right? So well, people have different theories on that. I wondered what yours was.
I'd let spirit handle that.
Okay.
Some people might need it and others don't. So to say no or to say, by the way, come and get a drink, either one of those, it's just, I don't control that stuff. I just let it happen.
Okay. James Demos at sbcglobal.net. JenWeigel.com is where you can find me. Thanks so much, Jim, for being here, for doing what you do. And keep doing what you do.
Okay, thank you. By the way, I'm going to take 10 seconds here to acknowledge Jennifer. I don't think enough people tell her what an inspiration she is. Her commitment, her integrity, her ability to bring out all kinds of different topics to people and in her books and in these kind of interviews, I admire very much. And I'm sure lots of the people listening do too.
Oh, Jim, that is so sweet. Thank you. I know there's an audience for this, right? Mm-hmm. I've known it in my intuitive inner lining, right? Okay. And so I'll continue these dialogues. And until somebody in a network gets the fact that this should be on daily television, we will keep banging the drum on WGN Plus gladly. How about that?
Okay, I'm all for it.
All right, cool. I'm Spiritual Dammit. I'm Jen Weigel, and we will talk with you next time.